as we were gathering together with the members of Cheap Trick, there was the question, and it was a question for me at the beginning. There was some question about which record was this, because you've made now...
Their 17th studio album is coming out, and with all the live and all the compilation things, I don't know how many we got.
Over 25.
I think it's over a million, something like
that. A million, yeah.
Well, that's another good question, as Cheap Trick joins us live today from the Village at Westfield Topanga. I didn't do the math yet. When I worked at Epic, I was part of, you know, I kept tabs on sales. How many have you sold officially?
Well, you should know that, Sky, because you're responsible for all those sales.
Some. Yeah. A couple.
Somebody said we sold 20 million, but... You know, we said we did 5,000 shows. We've been saying that for the last 10 years. So I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that fact. The fact that you guys have been working so steadily and so diligently and have always been one of the great live rock bands. Here's a question. I remember there was a point, actually, when we were working together on the label side where, oh, boy, the road, you know, it does get long, doesn't it? And you guys,
yeah, but that's what we do, you know. That's what else we're gonna do? Sit around and watch TV or listen to Sky Daniels on the radio?
Well, that wouldn't be a bad option. Couldn't be the worst. But it is.
We're a testimony. Working band. We're a working band. It's like that. We never expected we'd make a dime, and we never, you know, we never thought we'd sell a bunch of records. But we did. We always did play pretty good, And live, we've just have always done well. I always tell people, if we had to wait for a hit song to go out and tour, we would never have toured. You know, so we just kept going, and we got our chops years ago. You know, playing the clubs in Chicago and in Iowa and South Dakota,
Akron.
Yeah, that was our favorite spot. And then, you know, and then we spent our own money to come to play at the Starwood.
We wanted to start our tour in Chicago, but. We're instead going to do it in Akron.
That was the best.
Yeah, well, you know.
Oh, that's right. Sky, weren't you?
Oh, now I know why you were asking for the number. I got it. Okay, I'll try to find it.
And plus, we got here. We got to the station here. Besides, Tom didn't see your girlfriend here.
Right.
Robin knows all about Akron, and Dax is hanging over here. And then we saw Chris Isaac stand outside. We got his autograph, too.
And,
it was cool.
He left a priceless guitar for you to pilfer.
Don't give it away yet.
You know, when it's gone,
when he comes in here and finds that all the strings have been cut off.
Speaking of guitars, how many axes do you have?
How many do you want?
How many, really?
I'm probably about 400, something like that. You know, but thousands of other instruments, wah-wah pedals and...
Do you still have the treehouse?
No, but I built another house.
Because the treehouse.
Treehouse was. Yeah,
did he ever get to spend time in the treehouse, or was that before?
That's before his young life.
We lived there 8 years.
Oh wow!
So you were actually.
He was alive then. Yeah.
He probably got more use out of that treehouse than anybody else.
I was raised by raccoons. Up there.
That's Dax for all of you out in Radio Land, who of course is a member of the band now and is Rick's son. How is it being on the road with your dad looking over your shoulder all the time?
Well, now it's the other way around.
I'm the drummer, so I'm looking over his shoulder.
Okay, so in fact, that's how I figured it
would
be.
Good answer.
You're keeping pops in mind.
We do our own thing. I don't keep tabs on him. Hopefully he doesn't keep tabs on what I'm
doing. No. He calls me Rick, which I approve, you know, as well. Hey, Dad. You know, it's like, you know, it's like I call Robin Dad. You know, it's like, that's
he's older than I am. How does that work?
I'm older than everybody.
You're saying Dax is older than you?
No, Rick.
Oh, I was going to say.
He calls me Dad.
Well, you know, it's all in good fun.
When your kids are wrong.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the new record before we get into...
I want Tom to say something. He's over there.
I'm waiting.
He's
waiting for my moment here.
Tom and I have planned to talk about the feelings he first had when he got the word about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We've had a heart-to-heart while you guys were out about the crowd and... I can tell he has a great sentiment to share with the crowd.
So I bet he does.
Right, Tom? That'll you're going to own the room when that comes down. But I want to talk about the new album for a moment.
Okay.
It's a tremendous album, and it's something that the lead track, When I Wake Up, even I, and I thought, you know, I understood and had heard every facet of Cheap Trick that I could possibly ever hear. And that is obviously a multifaceted, wide array of styles of music that you've mastered. But I was, like, pleasantly surprised that they've come up with yet another, you know, wrinkle in their vast abilities to cover a song. Now, where did this song come from, and how did it come about to be recorded on the new album?
It was one of the first songs written. It was done in L.A., and we brought it back to the band. Julian Raymond produced the record, and he was a co-writer on the song. Brought back to the band, and they did their thing to it, and it became this song. You know, it's just, Cheap Trick works in different ways. You know, that song just came in and blossomed.
I heard the first time just an acoustic version of it with just Robin playing just the chords. It was like, it was so simple, the chords, F to E minor. I mean, how many times we've done that? And it's like, it was like I've never heard those chords done that way at that tempo with that feel. As in there, I mean, it's Cheap Trick. It's never like super complicated, but it's super intense in the arrangements that happen. And
yeah, that arrangement, like, that chorus used to be the other way around, where it started right on the D, and then the vocal came in on the D. But it seemed too simple that way, so we just kind of turned it around where it waited to come in, and that made all the difference in the uniqueness of it.
Well, it certainly does stand out. We have listeners who call in and text in and email in and go, wait, that's Cheap Trick?
Well, we were going to change our name so people wouldn't be offended by...
We're a pretty diverse band, as you know, Sky. I mean, on our first record, there was Daddy Should Have Stayed in High School next to Mandicello. I mean, that, you know, we've always been diverse like that.
Beyond diverse. Some of the... and able to play more styles and master more styles of music than just about any other band. Perhaps the ones that we all so often pay homage to, which would be the Fab Four. Let's play the new song, and then we're going to come back. We're going to hear a couple more new songs from the record, and we're going to obviously talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This is a great... you know, get together for me and some guys that I've known for many, many years. And so it means a lot to me on a personal level. Let's share it with you, the listeners of 88.5 KCSN. I never wanted just one kiss for sure. Well, maybe I didn't understand. All you wanted was a one-night stand. Well, never thought that I would beg like this. Oh, man.
Do that where I can see it. The people are kind of standing in the way, but see behind that girl?
Yeah. Is Slaw Dog good?
Yeah, Slaw Dog. See, we're giving
some directions.
We're getting gourmet ideas.
Somebody
from
asked for directions here. Yeah. Sky's wife did.
Yeah, Slaw Dogs serves a good Chicago dog. And, of course, these guys. Let's talk about Chicago for a minute. You're going to play Friday.
What day it is.
Oh, whatever. No, this week
April
sometime.
April 1st. Yes. That's Friday.
Yes, that's right.
April Fool's Day,
and it's also Cheap Trick Day in Chicago.
That's state of Illinois,
and
in the state of Illinois,
the
entire state,
the whole state. Yeah, that's where it's from.
Our record comes out then too.
Well, yes, the record comes out. Bang Zoom Crazy Hello, which that's the most important thing that we need to share with our audience.
Show me your jacket.
Well, you already made it.
What do we got?
It's
here?
A very sharp leather.
Robin made
jacket.
That on the plane on the way out here.
So every stitch.
That's a beautiful jacket.
There's something falling down here.
Probably my ability to interview. But that never know. Oh, you mean the equipment's falling apart?
I don't know what it is.
Public radio.
That's what she
said.
It's
like a trap door under there.
Oh, yeah. That's the card table.
That's
where Matt has his stash, so don't worry.
All right.
Normally, he doesn't want anyone to see that.
So Chris Isaac's dog was sniffing down there.
Yeah, and if you notice, he's sleeping now.
Yeah,
he
ate some of those brownies he had in there.
He pooped on your carpet.
The fact that you are playing Chicago, it should be noted for those of the people who know the Chicagoland area. You're going to be playing in the world famous Metro, which is one of the great rock clubs in Chicago, and that is an underplay of considerable dimensions.
Yeah, but that's a cool place. That was the place that we did. We did a 4-night stand there.
We did music for Hangovers.
Yeah, first album, second album, third album, fourth album. you know, playing every night a different album. And actually, just two nights ago, we were in Seattle, and we played with the guys that opened for us in Seattle, Pearl Jam. We paid them the same as we paid the Smashing Pumpkins, $250 or $350 to open the show for us. And it's like, they've all hated us ever since.
That was Mike McCready's birthday, was it not?
Yeah, it was McCready's birthday, yeah.
And so did anybody get in trouble on his birthday, or are we all?
Probably, yeah.
I got in big trouble because it was my son's birthday, too, and I was at McCready's birthday party.
McCready, who cares about him?
Your son, you got in trouble for not being at your son's.
That's right.
Oof.
But we flew home on the red eye just to celebrate the next day.
You're a good father.
Yeah.
And we got the whole band up there. Eddie was doing "I Want You to Want Me" there, and it was funny.
Who hasn't sang along to "I Want You to Want Me"? Where's that rank?
Besides you.
Where's that? Well, I can't sing. Where does that rank on the karaoke songs of all time? Is there a chart for that?
I don't know.
I would think it could be up there.
You're a radio guy. You should know that. Yeah. How do we know?
We work so much. It's like we never see any bands. Last time I did karaoke, I got thrown off the stage.
I don't pay attention to charts, Tom. Charts are for guys who don't know what they're doing.
Let's talk about the hot dog place here. What's the name of the place?
Slaw Dogs. We've given Slaw Dogs a lot of promotion
already.
Okay.
Well, no, we got to give them some press out here. We got all these, I know, these guys I know working hard over here, and you just rave about it. And then
you're the one that told us about it.
And you're angling for a free dog when the interview's
well,
over, which is okay.
A little discount. Free or not.
We want a card. We can always go there.
So playing there on Friday, and then going out to... the never-ending tour, right?
We're going to go out with Art and Joan Jett.
Yeah, but we played a first there, and then a second, I think we fly to Florida, Orlando, for do a show, and then the next day after that, then we fly to New York and start get ready. I think we're doing Howard Stern, and we're doing the Today Show, and we're doing Stephen Colbert, and we're doing... the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That thing, too.
And who else are we doing?
XM Town Hall. I Heart Live.
Yeah. So that's our conscience over there speaking. Angela.
Angela, who's a good friend of the station, and she was one of the first people that was talking to us the second that she heard us play the song on the air, or she got what we call the first alert.
We saw that. Angel. We saw that in press that... we got a note from them. So even if we didn't want to see Sky, we got to go see Sky.
Well, now we've made all our dreams come true, at least mine. Let's go talk about what was just mentioned. I have to be very sincere for a moment because I know we're having fun, but when I saw the news that you guys had been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I don't think I've ever been happier. About any inductee, knowing the history and having some history with you, it just was such a moment where I was going, justice has been served. What was it like? I'm going to ask Tom first. What
really?
When you got the news, what was your first reaction?
Well, we got the news that we were nominated, which I think is the hardest thing to have happened. So once we heard that, I thought, maybe we have a chance. We really hadn't thought about it, really. Before, and we were continuing on no matter what happened, and I couldn't really believe it either. It's like, wow, we got in. I thought we'd have to wait a little while longer, at least.
And now, you're in. Has it settled in yet?
Kind of. I mean, it's.
I saw an ad for it last night on HBO.
You think it's official now?
Well, it was really a well done ad because it just at the very end it mentions who us and Chicago and. Steve Miller and everybody, but it starts out with Keith Richard talking and it's all the stuff. So it's well done. It's like, wow, hey, it's pretty cool.
We're part of this.
Yeah,
we're four guys
bad.
From Rockford, Illinois. What do we know?
How did that happen?
I have to believe I'm looking at a cover of Sgt. Pepper's, and I have to believe that when you find out that you're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, that's an honor that's as real as it's going to get, right?
I think that's right.
You wait the first 5 years since we were noticed, 2002, I think, we were eligible. And then 5 years go by, and you think, we might get in, 10 years go by.
No,
we're not going to get in. And then 15 years go by, and you think, screw them. They don't know what they're talking about anyway. And then it happens to you. And you come home and people are shaking your hand that you've known for 20 years, wanting autographs for their friends. Dogs and cats are kissing each other. It's crazy.
It was good.
It's got to be a tremendous feeling because you know what? Forevermore.
Well, yeah. I tell people
forevermore.
We're out on the road for 300 nights a year, and it's like we go here, there, and you know, we're beat up. We can do this and that, the other. And people say, oh, well, you guys are in a band. They don't know anything about us. You say this, it's like, holy cow, it's like the ultimate recognition. It's the ultimate, you know, validation.
Yeah.
People understand that. It's like, holy cow, it's like, you know, oh, you play baseball? Yeah, yeah, we're in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Holy cow, you know, it's a whole, you know, it's up 100 steps upward. And it's like, you know, it's like instead of, oh, he just plays in a rock band. You know, it's like, you know, he just plays in a rock band. Why'd they pick him? You know, or why'd they pick, you know, Cheap Trick? It's like quite the honor. You know, it's like, well, you always hear about these other bands complaining, wow, I'm not going to do this. Screw that. I'm gonna enjoy it like mad. The only thing I worry about is like, what are you going to say to these people? I said, you know, we have a career. I've been playing guitar for 50 years. Here, say what you think in the next 90 seconds. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. Hi, I'm Rick. Any questions? See ya. Bye. Well, that's about it. That's
well,
for me.
We already know that getting the honor,
it's an
for
honor
the whole
honor.
State of Illinois on Cheap Trick Day doesn't come with any perks. We'll find out what the perks are from the Rock and Roll Hall. I'm sure you'll get a beautiful gift bag if
nothing
else. Well,
I heard today that you get a statue at the Hall of Fame. I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, like Steve Jones told us that.
Yeah.
I thought you got a mirror ball.
Well, that we can work that out for you, too. If that's your choice,
you
that's what we'll come up with. Let's play something from the new record, because obviously the new record comes out along with the announcement of you being into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it certainly has piqued a lot of interest, regenerated a lot of interest in your new music, and that's what we want to focus on today. I'm going to play a song from the record No Direction Home. We'll come back and talk about it. We're talking with Cheap Trick live in the studio. We've got Robin, Rick, Tom, and Dax here. The album, the brand new album coming out Friday, is Bang Zoom Crazy Hello, and the band is, of course, Cheap Trick on KCSN. Cheap Trick, the way we want it here on 88.5 KCSN. And sitting with us at the studio at Westfield Topanga is the members of Cheap Trick as we get ready for the launch of Bang Zoom Crazy Hello. That's just yet another new song from it called No Direction Home. Rick, you were talking about you brought out an effect.
A flanger phaser or whatever. I'm not sure what it is. I wasn't sure what it was then, but it was, you know, we were all fans of the early Small Faces before Rod Stewart. And
right.
Like Ichiku Park. They had a choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. It was like, or Hendrix used it too. It's like, and it's like, to this day, I don't use any effects on guitar. Of course, I'm the only guy in the world that doesn't, but.
I use a wah-wah once.
Yeah,
that.
Once in a while I do. But
that doesn't count.
Yeah. That doesn't count.
Though. No, that was pre getting pedal stuff, having a wah-wah, but. We just, hey, this thing needs something here. How about, you know, let's get out the old 1967 Ichiku Park button and put that on there. And it's, you know, the song has nothing to do with that, but it's like, that it's just a cool, neat effect.
Well, it's probably on GarageBand now, somewhere buried in there, right? Every effect is stored somewhere nowadays,
well, yeah,
isn't it?
We're old school, you know. We all have GarageBand, but it's like we were the original GarageBand, you know.
We discussed the Treehouse earlier.
Yeah, that's right. You're rare in the being have gone to our house in Rockford, Illinois, 100 years ago. So
right.
You know who was one of our guys? The guy was our product manager back then was John Sykes,
right.
Psycho Killer. He was the college rep. Now he owns half the world.
Yeah, we sent him out for pizza.
Yeah, sent him out for pizza. Now he sends us.
John was the only guy who, back in the day, when I was on the radio side in Chicago and he was on the label side, who would go home at 11 p.m. dutifully on every night.
Yeah, very straight-laced character, that guy.
He was smart, much different than all the rest of us in Chicago. 11 o'clock
man.
Is when we went out. We went out at 11 p.m.
He also got a date with Carly Simon, too. Yeah. You know, we none of us did.
No, so we didn't. And now...
Unless he ran the world. He was MTV, VH1, I don't know what he had.
Now iHeartMedia.
Yeah. Champion oh, you haven't heard of all those things. But he's still a good guy. Yeah. And we still send him out for pizza.
Well, he can get you some from Pyology next.
Yes.
Let's go back to the new album and the making of it. When you approach a new album nowadays... What causes the catalyst? What's the thing that says, okay, other than maybe, you know, the label that you're signed to saying we want an album, what's the catalyst for you guys? Is it, you know, you have enough songs? Is it something that, you feel like you're ready to hit the studio? I'm sure being so devoted to the road and being on the road, you know, you kind of have to figure out when you are going to stop and spend time in the studio.
It's been a while. I mean, it's been 5-6 years, but we went through a lot of changes.
Yeah.
We cleaned our closet,
yeah.
Put it that way. And, you know, and that took a lot of time with lawyers and lawsuits, whatever. But you have to, you know, emotionally, I guess, get ready to do an album. We talked about it. We'd have done a record whether we were signed to a label or not.
Yeah.
We did it before we were signed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, the record was finished, except for the mixes, I guess, before we were even signed. So, but we ran into Scott Borchetta gave us a call and asked us to come to Nashville. And so we came there and we talked to him about where we were at. And he was willing to, like, give us some advice and help us through the ins and outs of the troubles we were having. And, you know... By the time we'd finished the record, he was ready to sign us, so he signed us to the label.
Yeah, and we came to L.A., you know, we all tour, you know.
Right.
And we were in L.A., we came to L.A., we recorded 8 songs, and we went back on tour. Then we came back to L.A., and recorded 7 songs, went back on tour. Then we went to Nashville, recorded 8 songs, went back on tour. Went back to Nashville, recorded 7 more. Before you know it, we had 30 songs, no matter... And if we didn't have all the songs, we'd go in the studio and figure it out. But, you know, it's like it's near impossible to, you know, record and play as much as we did. So, but we worked it out. And then over a period of time, and I think it makes us become a bit fresher at it anyhow. Instead of just we're going in, it's like, all right, and then you're like sort of stuck in there. We went in at kind of a, you know, leisurely pace in a way. I mean, it didn't mean we took extra long, but just... It wasn't like, okay, we got to do this now, and then we're gone. It was a good way to do it. Like
creative bursts.
Yeah,
and
you know, it's like some days it worked and some days it didn't work, and it's like, but
yeah, you could live with the material for a while,
as opposed to, this is coming out. You know, we're not quite ready, and you know, plus like Robin said, all the emotional, all the crap, you know, changing management, changing managers, changing agencies, changing drummers.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff, all the nonsense. But, you know, it's like even back the day when you were at Epic and stuff like that, you know, everybody that we worked with that was told us, give us all this advice, that advice, none of those people are around. It's us. It's the core of the band. And so, you know, I don't know, without saying we're cool or good or whatever, it's like we stuck with what we do.
Persevere.
And we make good records and we play good live. And it's like, what more could you want?
Well, Scott, you know, you mentioned Scott Borchetta, and for our listeners out there, Scott, being one of the most influential people in the music business now, has built quite the empire, and he came at this.
He came after us.
As a real fan. Yeah, as a real fan of the band. He understood and loved the band personally.
I thought it was just weird. You know? Well, actually, he started talking with Tom first, because Tom lives in Nashville. And Scott's there. But, you know, it's like, yeah, he's known for... all his inroads and all his expertise in that business, you know, through Taylor Swift and all the other stuff. But he didn't come to us, hey, we got to get you. He didn't ask us to change anything, really. He said, I just want to work with you guys.
I saw the picture of his rock band when he was a young boy.
We shouldn't have worked with him when we saw that picture. Ridiculous.
So, Tom, actually, you knew Scott at all?
I met him first, and one of my good friends introduced us. Because he knew that he was a fan of of Cheap Trick. So we had dinner together, and he was just talking, you know, he knew all about us and all this kind of stuff. And it just one thing led to another, and we all, you know, Rick and Robin came down to Nashville, and we had a meeting with him.
And it's kismet, because now you've got an album out on his label, Big Machine.
And he still works us like slaves, too. I mean, we work really hard, and we want to. But it's opportunities that it's what you do. And that's what we've done our whole career. We've never been afraid of work.
That's for sure.
We're afraid of failure. We're not afraid of that either, because we've had plenty of that. But
yeah, they are a breath of fresh air too, and I hope we're a breath of fresh air for him too. I mean, you know, sometimes you.
I've never seen some old people work as hard. I have to work at his yard too during the.
It's a small price to pay.
Yeah. I'm pretty good at gardening, though.
I know your horticultural skills are renowned, and I was wondering right after we leave. You know, I live right about 2 miles away. Perhaps you could help me trim a few of the.
Consider it done, Sky. Right after I'm going to Chris Isaac's house first. So I'm going to.
Oh, Chris, and first Slawdogs actually. Slawdogs is our first stop. I'm going to play one more from the new album. Bang, Zoom, Crazy, Hello, which is, you know, we've had those kind of encounters in our day where all that stuff happened in the first 5 seconds. This one's called Blood Red Lips, and we'll talk about
rock songs. If you're going to play one more, I think you got to play the...
Well, we can play another one afterwards.
No, I don't want to ruin your day, but that's one song that, Heart on the Line, that starts off the album, kicks it into first gear.
We'll play that next then.
Okay.
All right. We'll come back in a moment with Cheap Trick on 88.5 KCSN. That is new music from Cheap Trick, from their new album, Bang, Zoom, Crazy, Hello.
That's
And Rick moments ago was asking, you know, why don't I play a song with energy? Geez,
really? Well, that one's got some energy. And look, I found the Energizer Bunny, Chris Isaac, out there.
Hey, how you doing?
Chris Isaac, who is going to be joining us.
Joining
us at this moment.
I was hanging outside listening with the rest of the fans. There's tons of fans out there, and none of them are mine.
Well, but
they're all yours. We're just winning them over.
As you and I discussed earlier, and I don't want to give away too many secrets about what you have planned. Because
don't talk about the dress thing. That was just a one-time thing. I know,
but it was high. It was horny.
Yeah,
but you know what? Listen, you look smashing. I must say,
is that the new Trump campaign slogan? He was high. He was horny.
That's right.
You know what he's doing.
That should be everybody's slogan when you're running.
America wants that.
Yeah,
that's right.
High and horny for America.
Really?
I mean, come on.
Well, at least
I'm high. I'm horny. You're fired.
Tom, we're sorry, but you've been displaced. I didn't know how to break it to you early.
I couldn't do it without him. I didn't realize.
So you are going to later on, Chris. Yes. You're going to pay homage to Cheap Trick by doing a cover of one of their songs. Is that a fair thing to say?
You should play my cover because it'll show you how great Cheap Trick is.
Okay. Well, Chris, what possessed you to do that in the first place?
It's a great song. That's what I go. That's an awesome song.
Because I think your cover. You started doing it live first, didn't you? And then decided to...
We started doing it live. You know, when I first did it, though, I didn't think I could do it. I said, let's not do it because we can't do it as good. And then when I started singing, I go, I'm going to have so much fun singing. I don't care if I do it as good. I just want to sing.
You said, well, Cheap Trick, no, they don't do it as good. I do it so good.
Yeah, right.
Well, you had a show at Ruth Eckert Hall in Florida, and the guy who runs that joint called me.
Yeah.
And you were playing, and he goes, listen to this. He held his phone up. And that's the first time I heard you do that.
And you went, he's murdering my song.
No.
I heard Tony.
It was much better than we could ever do.
Tony Bennett had the greatest quote. He said that Hank Williams called his house, and he had a big hit at the time with something, you know, was it You're Cheating Hard or something like this? And he had done a version, you know, why can't you take these chains of love and melt my cold, cold heart? Tony Bennett did it his own way. Hank Williams calls the house and goes, you're ruining my song.
Oh, no. Well, we would never call your house because we don't have your number.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
That's some stones.
Really?
Even for Hank Williams. You know, that's some
stones. He was high. He was horny.
He was a mean guy.
It happens.
Hey, I went, because I know one of the guys that plays in your band, Roly Sally. I've known him for a long time.
He's so jealous of you.
He should be.
He is.
Good. Well, he's
I'm
good
not
looking,
kidding.
Though.
Roly goes on. He has Roly. They grew up in the same area,
yeah.
around Chicago, and Roly would say, "Oh, they always had the best equipment." I go, "What does that mean?" He goes, "His dad had a music store. They had the best equipment. Nobody could compete with those guys." I go, "Well, talent has a lot to do with it too, Roly." I mean,
but he's right. His dad had a great store. I bought my first guitar and amp from his dad when I was 12.
Tom bought
years
a Vox
old.
AC30. He still has a receipt. He just found it last week.
Wow.
I showed it to him the other day.
Yeah,
so that part is true.
But I have six versions of different "I Want You to Want Me" that you did. Everyone's different, so it's like you're going to get it right one of these days, aren't you?
Sooner or later.
Perseverance.
That's it.
It will pay off.
Blind squirrel.
Well, we're big fans, and it's good to see you.
Back at you.
Yeah, and when you open your guitar case and see that I didn't cut off all your strings, just most of them.
Fair enough.
We left you a present in there.
Just restrung it backwards.
We're the last of the rock and roll bands.
I did a Hendrix version. It's left-handed.
You know, I seriously, we do love your music, and I love every time I see you guys, I go, it's a rock band. I love rock bands. And
our mistakes are better than anything we could think of.
You know, right? we're a dying breed of like guys who go like, "What do? Play rock and roll."
What?
Huh? You know? Yeah.
When are you going to get a real job?
Okay. What are you protesting? Nothing really. Just I'm making rock and roll.
Well, and these guys now have got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame status afforded to them now, which is
and well deserved.
Amen. Let's hear it.
They did the work.
Yay. Hard work and great talent.
Hey, everybody, Chris Isaac. Clapped cool. his hands for a cheap trick.
It doesn't get much cooler than that.
I tell you, it's an honor. It's an honor, Your Honor.
Well, the album comes out on Friday.
Uh-huh. Well, no.
What's the title?
It's out right now.
What's the title of the album?
Bang, Zoom, Crazy, Hello.
Bang, Zoom, Crazy, Hello.
See there.
He's holding up. You can't see it on radio. He's holding up a leather jacket with on the back embroidered "Bang Zoom Crazy Hello." I love it,
and not just a leather jacket, a very sharp
that's
leather
very
jacket
sharp.
Too.
That's,
is that available? Is that available online?
First come, first serve.
It's the prototype,
but it could be made available.
Yes, it could be.
All right. Well, I'm gonna wrap it up before this thing goes totally off the rails, which is okay.
It's already gone.
Well, Sky, I just want to say it was great to see you again.
Yeah.
And, it was a nice surprise. As this was, so thank you very much.
Special honor.
It's tremendous, you know, to say I've been a fan would be an understatement. I did have the honor of working for you guys, and you know, never believed in a band with more than all my heart than you guys. And when you got named in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it was like a member of the family, you know, having some great award long deserved on him. So congratulations. Great new album, by the way. Great new album. Not just good.
Oh, come on. Great. What do you really think?
Great album. Every Cheap Trick fan out there and those who have yet to discover Cheap Trick will want to have Bang, Zoom, Crazy, Hello. I'm going to say goodbye to you guys now, but
hey,
not for long.
That's the lost title. Bang, Zoom, Crazy, Hello, Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. That could be volume two. I may see you in Chicago. I may surprise you. I may just get on a plane and head to the Metro, and I know Joey will get me in,
well,
so don't worry.
Well, be careful if you get there, because we'll be getting you up there for some reason
on the stage. Well, you know, I can do it. Do you have that dress you were talking about earlier? It may come in handy.
Chris Isaac? Sequins look good on you,
sir. It's an honor, Your Honor.
I'm going to leave now with one that is older. It's Cheap Trick on the radio.